Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back. Hey, if I can grab your attention at the front, we missed you last week. I hope everybody survived the winter storm just by show of hands. How many of y'all lost power at some point last week? Anybody lose their water at some stage? Yeah, I think it's fitting that on a week where we were supposed to talk about the subject of perspective, God gave us a chance to challenge our perspectives last week. And that's what we're going to spend our time thinking about this morning. And if you remember when we framed up these four battles a few weeks ago when I led our opening session on Thursday morning, what we talked about is this battle for perspective is that comes right at the heart of that failure we feel related to anxiety. It's a battle of the mind. It's a test of our trust. And what God calls us to is to pursue Him with intimacy. Are we going to be more intimate with our problems than we are with God? That's really the root of our issue when it comes to this question of perspective. Our topic this morning on perspective focuses on how it is that we see the world around us. And I'm so excited to have one of our own, Dean Gage, lead us in just a minute. He's going to bring a great message about this. I'm sure it'll be twice as good since he had an extra week to prepare since we weren't able to meet together last week. Now, before we do that, though, I want us to kick things off. We've got some yellow cards on the table that speak to this issue. Some of the guys who were at our men's retreat who shared what was going on in their life, and I'd love for us to do what we normally do to kick things off on these Thursday mornings and take some time to read those. If you'll grab those, stand up, read them out, and then we'll take a moment to have you pray over those that are represented on your cards, and Dean will kick us off in just a minute. So let's start up here at the front and work our way towards the back.
Okay, guys. I have one different perspective this morning than I had a week ago. I have a new perspective of ERCOT. And it's not a good one either. This morning we are going to look at perspective. And I really had not thought through those four and how perspective fit into it until I really started preparing for this morning. Because to teach something, in essence, is to learn twice. And remember that when you work with your kids. So this morning we're going to look at perspective as it fits into these four. And these four are all interwoven together every day of our lives. And some of you have heard me share before that we live in five areas every single day of our lives. And you can't pick up something from your life and not put it into one of the five categories. First of all, yourself, your family, your calling, God's purpose, which is up here. Fourth would be church, and fifth would be the community in which you live. And you don't live any one of those as an island unto itself. And it's the same way with these four here, in that they are interwoven together. And as I looked at those, I began to think about the fact that if we have failure in one of them, it normally will impact and even can cause a failure in the other three, whatever and whichever one it might be, because they all come together. And in some respects, they're very progressive, because you see, number two up there is our perspective. Your purpose, your calling, and what God has laid upon your heart to do and to learn and to build into your life will be reflected and directed into your perspective of how you view things. And your perspective of how you view things and God's Word and Holy Spirit in your life will many times determine your purity and whether you protect your purity or have a failure in it. And then perseverance, clearly, is something that's required to maintain all of those. Now, each of those battles has a failure, a battlefield, a test, and then the gospel foundations. And they're all interwoven together. And as we look at perspective this morning, you're going to see how all of those come to one real heart of what we're dealing with as we live life. So, at your table, I want you to take about 3 minutes. What is your life verse? and why is it important, and then define perspective and what it means to you. Go. What's your life verse? What are you living out? And what do we really mean by that word of perspective? It would be interesting if we had time to go around and hear the life verses of each one of you this morning. My hope would be that you have memorized your life verse. I don't have one. I have three, and they're up here. And they're progressive, and they have been progressive in my life. And the first one is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my salvation verse, really. But that progresses as we mature and as we grow. And the second one is Colossians 1:27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of what? The gospel of Christ. That means living for Jesus and letting him live through us. And then the third one is one that I use a lot in leadership. It said, and when Paul wrote, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He wasn't saying that he was the perfect example. He was just saying, you watch me follow Christ. And that should be your heart. And if we live out those first two, then that third one is going to dearly develop into what our perspective is. Well, what is perspective? Well, one thing for certain, it's your mindset. It's your attitude. It's your point of view. It's your opinion. It's also your frame of mind. But I think more importantly than that, for the Christian man and the Christian leader of your home and in work and wherever you go every day, it is the spiritual lens through which we look at things. You know, recently I bought a new i12 Pro. It has three lenses. That's the reason I bought it. It has a wide angle. And you know what? That could be related to your worldview of all the things around you. It then has a regular lens of the daily things that we would see. But then it has an incredible telephoto where you can bring things up close and view them from a closer perspective, really. And that is what we're talking about here for the Christian, in that it's our spiritual lens, and in another way, it's seeing life from God's point of view. But it's also something else. It's seeing people the way Jesus does. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? My wife tells me when maybe I mention something about somebody, and she'll say, but you've got to realize, Dean, every person is a dream of God. And I said, yeah, they may be, but some of them turn into nightmares. But it is how we view things and how we see other people. And we need to see those as Jesus looks at them. How does Jesus look at your wife? How does Jesus look at your children? How does Jesus look at your boss? How does Jesus look at those that work with you and for you? And every person with whom you have contact daily, how does Jesus see them? That's the way our perspective should be in relating to them. And our personal perspective is going to be limited or even warped if it's not grounded in gospel foundations. And we will be looking at those this morning. Our perspective usually determines something big. Our decisions, does it not? Absolutely. And we and you are who you are today because of the decisions that you have made in the past. You would not be here this morning had it not been for the decisions that you made in the past. One of those is accepting Jesus Christ. One of them is probably your spouse, your education. And all of those things are perspectives that went into the decisions that you made. And when life is over, it will have been those decisions in life that we made that made us who we were. The legacy that you might leave. And something very important down here. Don't make future decisions, but consider the future of the decisions that you're making at this very time in your life. You know, I heard a pastor once share, hell is paved with good intentions, because the intention of accepting Jesus was put off for a future decision. It may be you're dealing something within your life today, and you have a perspective that God is laying on your heart that you need to make that change now. Don't put those off. Consider the future of the decisions that you're making today for your personal life, for your family, for your career, things that God may be calling you to do here at Central as part of a service to Him. Whatever it is, be sure that you consider that. Now, the failure. That's the big one here. I was shocked, to be honest with you, when you read these yellow sheets this morning, of how many of them said that they were dealing with anxieties. Anxieties not caused by one thing, but anxieties caused by many things that we deal with each and every day. And here's a good definition of anxiety. It is an uneasiness, it's a distress, it's a fear, it's a nervousness, it's turmoil, and it's a feeling of worry. And anxiety usually turns into the one you see up there next, worry. Those two go hand in hand. Where we give in and dwell on the anxieties, and then this one is very easy for us, to assume responsibility that God never intended us to have. That is one I have had to fight before. It's like worry is sitting in a rocking chair. It's going to give you something to do, but you're not getting anywhere. Anxiety comes in all aspects of life. It can come in family. It could come in your personal area. It can come in responsibilities that you have at work or even here in the church. And I've had times in my life where sometimes I allowed anxiety to become too great. And my wife had to tell me, God's got this. God's got this. But the Holy Spirit told me that. You know what, guys? Those of you who are married, your wife sometimes is a conduit for the Holy Spirit. Particularly godly wives. Well, what makes you anxious and causes you to worry? And then secondly, can any good come from it? I want you to look at that at your table and discuss it. And how do you overcome and find victory? We're going to learn this morning how to have victory and trust in those times. Go. How many of you have experienced anxiety in your own heart for something that's personal? Have you ever had anxiety in your family? How many got teenagers? At work. All of us face those kinds of things. And here are the biblical foundations. I have a sheet on the table over here for each one of you that will have everything we've covered this morning and all of the scripture verses too. This is the most important one in my life, to deal with anxieties that come up. I have no idea how many times I have prayed that back to the Lord. And I'm going to read it to you. I have it memorized, but I don't want to mess up any one word in it. It says, but in everything, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That means to talk to God and to listen to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and here comes him speaking to us, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what 1 Peter 5:7 says? It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And then one more is Proverbs 12:25, which says, anxiety in the heart of man actually bogs him down. So that anxiety is the failure that has a gospel foundation to overcome it when we trust it, as we'll see. We need to learn to pray God's word back to him. God wants to hear us. And I will tell you, there are many times in my life when I started in my prayer life, particularly that first verse up there from Philippians 4, I prayed that to the Lord. When I had the leadership positions at A&M, and we had major issues, I prayed that every morning to the Lord, as well as I asked him to protect his witness, his integrity in my life, and that he would give me the wisdom and the courage to make the decisions that needed to be made that day. I've done that with my family when we were dealing with some things. And I'll tell you, the most recent was the pastor search process, because we had some external influence and impacts. And that group of people, we claim that verse also. And every morning in my quiet time, I would pray that to the Lord. And then secondly, I often pray when I'm running. I don't look like it today, but I normally run 2 miles a day. And that gives me about a 24-minute time frame to be alone. And when I come out of the driveway, there's a big, beautiful post oak tree there. And I call it my prayer tree, not pear, but my prayer tree. And when I get to even with that tree, I say, Lord, it's me again. And I start praying that verse back to him. Can any good come from anxiety and worry? Yeah. It may be a wake-up call to us, to alert us to something that we need to pay attention to, or that it reveals a blind spot. And one blind spot that I know and personally I've had is that I have been concerned about what people say and knowing that I am only to please God. I want to please people too. And I want to please my family and my children and my grandchildren. But the one that I am called to please first is Almighty God. It's also to realize that we are not God. He's in control. He knows what's going on. He knew it before you did, before I did. To see our problems and trials from God's perspective and act accordingly and rest in him. Be still and know what? That I am God. And then it's our spiritual growth and maturity. And you see a personal example to me. Because when I was at A&M and dealing with some gut-wrenching kinds of things, I felt like the buck stopped with me. I didn't create the issues, I inherited them. But people were looking to me to solve them. And anxiety could be a part of thinking through them. But you know what? College students came out to our house for a Bible study, and they brought me a plaque. And this is exactly what was on it. It said, Dean, trust me. I have everything under control, God. And at one of the times in, and I'm being open with you guys today, in the pastor search process, there was some anxiety. And one morning in the shower, I was thinking about all of it. And you heard people say that the Holy Spirit spoke to them in the shower. Well, that must be what happened. Because all of a sudden, God just kept bringing that back to me. Dean, trust me. I have everything under control. And in a moment when we get to the test, this is the key word. Trust me. Trust me. I have everything under control. Is that easy to do? No. because we keep thinking about what we might want to do in it. Well, the battlefield is where? It's in the mind. And those are all woven together, if you think about it for a moment. And mind and attitude are used together in Scripture. And particularly, as we'll look at in a moment, you will see that we have it. We have the mind of Christ in us. But it determines our attitudes, our behaviors, our actions, and our decisions. And don't tell me it doesn't. Because you have a perspective. Your attitude probably at this point toward whether or not to get vaccinated for COVID is an attitude that's going to determine your action. But it's not just things that we deal with every day in life. It's also our attitude and mindset toward people. And I guarantee you, I could be standing right here, and if a certain number of you, Philip, Randy, came walking into that door, I'd want a hi, how you doing? My attitude toward them is one that's God's perspective of wanting to interact with them. But you know what? There are a few people that if I saw standing in that door, I'd want to run, shut it, turn off the lights, and stay in here. Your attitudes will determine most of the time what you're going to do. And the battle for sin is won or lost in the mind. And whatever gets your attention is going to get you. That's why it's so important that we build these things into our lives to protect what is going to come next, and that's purity. Because your perspective on purity and your attitude and mindset toward it is going to highly dictate how you react to it and how you avoid it. There are two perspectives. There's God's perspective, which is the one we should have, isn't it? And there's man's perspective. And almost everything we deal with in life, it comes down to those two things. How are they developed? God's perspective is developed by the two authorities in our lives. One of them is this book. And the other is the Holy Spirit bringing the words of this book that hopefully are hidden in our heart, or we can turn to that page, that this is the way we should go and what we should do. Because the Psalms tell us, how can a young man keep his way pure? By hiding God's word in his heart. Memorize Scripture. I pray that you have memorized your life verse. That's very important to us. The enemy knows, does he not, when to attack. Halt. Halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And you think about it for a moment, the most vulnerable times often come within one of those four. So if you're being tempted on something and your perspective is being challenged on something, remember, halt. Am I hungry? Am I angry? And remember what James says? The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. He can bring it under control. Lonely? Have you ever been traveling and you're in a hotel room and you look up on the top of the TV and it's advertising those kinds of movies that you shouldn't see? And you think, well, nobody's going to know. Yeah, somebody does know. You're lonely. You're away from home. And that temptation, the enemy knows, or when you're tired. That one hits me more than any, when I'm tired. Because the enemy knows when our vulnerability is the highest and when our guard might be somewhat down. Now, here are the gospel foundations. And this one is in Philippians 2. It says, have this mind or this attitude among yourselves, which is what? Yours in Christ Jesus. And then I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 2:16, which says this, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? but we have the mind of Christ. Those two verses tell us that we have something in us. And if you have something in you that you're not using, and I have something that I'm not using, I'm not being obedient to what Scripture says. We have that. And when those kinds of perspective temptations and challenges come, we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I have your mind in me. And Colossians 3:2 says, set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Well, you know, we're living in COVID. I don't have to tell you that. And I just thought of this. Christ offers victory in distress. There it is. And that means so much to us as we try and go through the test. And this is the other one. The test is whom we place our trust and our refuge. Is it in another man? Is it in our spouse? Is it in ourselves? No, our trust needs to be in the Lord. And I think the question to always ask is WWJD. That was very popular a number of years ago, and I deeply regret that it's not used more today. So as those challenges, those issues, those anxieties, those worries come up every day, just stop, halt, and say, what would Jesus do? I've used that. I've had to apply that in almost every segment of my life. And you may be dealing with a spousal issue. You may be dealing with a children or a child's issue. You may be dealing with something at work. You may be dealing with filling out your income tax, which is coming up. And the question is, what would Jesus do? That is the essence of the test. And you see, our perspective impacts and often determines the perspective of those around us. I promise you that my wife and my children knew what my perspective was of serving the Lord, of being active in my home church, of leading my family. They knew that God had given me the responsibility and the call to lead our family. And that was a shared perspective with them. And you know what? Your children, when they see that in you, and I notice this in my children, they are going to follow your leadership. And I'll never forget when I was president of A&M, there was some big issue that came up. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, who was a student at the time, she came up to me at home as she had come home on the weekend. And she said, Dad, I was just watching to see what you would do. They're looking to you of what you would do and what Jesus would have you to do. And it holds true in all those areas that we walk in each and every day. And our mind and our attitude go hand in hand with two things: to discern what we're dealing with and the direction that we should go. And that discernment comes from God's perspective in us. I'm going to look at that with you in a moment because it's very important. Whoop. Now, you know those verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Other than Philippians 4, 6, and 7, those two verses I have prayed to the Lord probably more than any other. And what does that say? Trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Pray it to God and claim it. And if you notice something in Scripture, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 also, God gives us a command, have no anxiety. And then it says that He will keep our hearts and minds confident, really is what He's saying to us. It's a command followed by a promise. That produces the right perspective, and the right perspective then in the right decisions. The middle verse in the Bible is Psalm 118:8. It says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. And that goes back to something you saw earlier. It's either God's perspective or our perspective. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. And then Isaiah 30:21. That was the theme verse for the pastor search committee from the very first meeting in August. It seems hard to believe now, of 2019. And that verse says this, and you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, follow in it. You see, God wants to direct our steps. And so many times, we don't know which step to take, but He does. And this is a promise. You're going to hear that word, and then He tells us to follow in it. Then, you know what I wish? I wish that 1 Chronicles, actually 11 and 12, was a little bit like the old baseball cards, football cards. You remember those. You would buy a little package of them, and it had a little slab of what between the cards? Bubble gum. Well, I wish these two chapters came with a slice of bubble gum in it between those two chapters. Because as you read 1 Chronicles 12, 11 and 12, you see the incredible description and statistics and data, just like you did on those football and baseball cards, of the achievements of the batting averages or the touchdowns or the yards made or whatever it might be for that particular person. And these two chapters describe in vivid detail David's mighty men. And it even talks about some of them being so trained they were as fast as gazelles. And many of them were ambidextrous, that they could shoot the bow and arrow equally with the right or the left hand. But then we come to the men of Issachar, and they are described like this. Of the men of Issachar who understood their times and knew what Israel ought to do. Guys, that's us today. That's the perspective that we must have. Lifeway several years ago did a study of the top issues that families faced. And I don't think some of them have ever changed. You know what number one was? An anti-Christian culture. That's changed, but it's changed for the worse. And it's up to you and me, through the lens of Scripture, to discern our times in which we live and the threats against you personally, your marriage, which God wants protected and in purity, and Satan wants to take it down, and your children are facing. I can't imagine what my grandchildren are going to be facing with what I'm seeing happen today. It's a discernment that gives us then the direction. And that discernment is the spiritual perspective that you're looking at in the culture in which we live in order to know the direction that you need to lead. I've said this before, and I'm going to make one more comment about it. It's not as important as who's in the White House as it is as who's in my house. I'm not leading the nation. Now, I need to stand up, but I'm leading a family. And although my kids are gone, and I got grandkids, I'm going to have four of them as Aggies this fall. Papa, my car won't start. They're girls. They don't know what to do. So I bought one of those little battery packs. And now, because you can't get up to them, they're in a parking garage. And I just take that over, pop the hood up, they're going. So we have responsibilities to continue to give it. And then Joshua 24:15 is a verse that I used when we had the panel discussion. Because you see, that's the perspective, the underlying perspective that you and I need to have to create the freedom, the environment, the absolute direction that you want your family to go. You may have it on the wall above the mantle, but you need to write it upon your heart and write it upon the hearts of those that you lead. Where he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your perspective this morning? I pray it is, and I pray it's mine. Because remember, team spirit starts at the top. It starts with you. It's a God-given and God-mandated responsibility for everyone, every man. Well, you see these. Whoop, and went the wrong way. Now, I left some time here at the end. I'm going to go to the next slide first and then back to this one. Here's the next slide. Because you see, guys, the breakdown that we see in our culture is reflective of a breakdown of not having Jesus Christ in the hearts of people and the breakdown of the family. And it becomes progressive. You have the responsibility of leading your family. We go to Colorado every summer. I don't ride the rapids anymore. I'm getting too old for that. And I don't like the anxiety of riding in there. But as I watch people and families go down those rapids in that life raft, I think of this. Because you see what happens there. You get on a bus in whatever town it is. You go out to this location. You get in the raft. You don't go back up those rapids. You go down those rapids. You park. You get out. You get on the bus that has now traveled down there to pick you up. But our lives are not like that. And our leading of our families are not like that. You see, we only get one chance at it. You cannot go back. You can't create time again. Once it's gone, it's gone. And it's a road down which we've never gone before. And that's why we have to be grounded right here and in Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Because we hadn't been down here. But you know what? God promises in Deuteronomy that He will go before us and that He will go with us. And your ears shall hear or will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And it's not a road that you're going to go down again. When you go down it, make sure you go down it safely. And it's like floating down those rapids with those that God's given you to lead. So we discern it and we give direction. Now, this morning I want to end right here by giving you some time at your tables to think through some of the perspectives that you have about your own life, maybe your family, maybe something at work, maybe it's the culture in which we live. I don't know what it is for you, but think through the perspectives that you have that may need to change. How do you view someone? Do you forgive and forget? Whatever the issue might be, think through it and then pray and commit it to the Lord this morning. I'm going to pray first and then let you have the time at your table. And when you're finished, feel free to go. And don't forget that I've got the sheet over here for every one of you that has everything we've covered this morning on it. It's condensed down, that's for sure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us through your word and through your Holy Spirit and through your living in us the godly perspective that we need to have. Lord, help us to know that we have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ in us, if we will only be obedient and listen to it. And Lord, may we ask when decisions come up, when trials come up, when anxieties come up, what would Jesus do? And Lord, not only ask that question, but to be obedient to what Jesus would do. Thank you for these men. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the men of this church. Thank you for Philip's leadership. And Lord, that we can now have an openness and to come together and be transparent, to support each other, to love each other, to pray with each other, and to grow with each other. And Lord, I pray for every man in this room that has a family, that you would lay upon their hearts to be the spiritual leader that not only you've called them to be, but the spiritual leader that you want them to be. And we ask every bit of this in Jesus' name. Amen.